This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, hello there, Mike. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to be seen. That means I'm still alive.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So,
did you miss me last week?
Yeah, I don't know. The show was just in the in the gutter. I'll tell you.
Yeah, boy, it's getting deep in here.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, thank you for listening to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And this is a show about landscaping ideas and suggestions on what you can do with different plants and how to plant things and how to take care of things so that you have success in your yard. And your yard is the most beautiful yard on the block. And if you have a question, 673-4464 will get you in here. You can ask your question. And I will more than likely give you a good answer. So that's my best bet. But here it is, April 5th, and it's still cold, wet, rainy. And the day before yesterday, I had 2 inches of new snow on my front porch again. And, I'm thinking, gee whiz, what is this, April? Yeah, it's April. I've never had snow on my porch in April. I've lived there since 1977.
Wow, that's no April Fool's joke.
No, that's not an April Fool's joke at all, man. So I'm ready for some global warming. I don't know about anybody else, but
bring it on, baby.
Bring it on, baby. Let's see that warmth.
As our president would say, come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. But this weather pattern through March and now April has been, in my estimation, the coldest and wettest I've seen in about 40 years.
Wow.
And I pay attention to the weather because of my business, or my former business, and, to dictate what needs to be watered or not watered or, pruned or protected or whatever. And, I'm probably not going to turn on the sprinklers until, who knows, maybe May. I don't know. It depends on what these patterns are like, for crying out loud.
Well, I think it's finally keeping our governor mouth shut about extreme drought.
Well, extreme drought, and I do have a few issues here.
Oh.
I copied from I didn't copy them verbatim, but very close, from the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times is a weekly national newspaper that I get, and it's fairly straightforward and conservative in for the most part, and they had some interesting things to say about the climate, so I'm gonna share that with the audience, and don't call and yell at me. I'm not making this up. This is what they actually said, so don't worry about that.
And it's got to be the truth.
Oh, absolutely. But it's still too wet to till for a garden, and really too cold to plant vegetable seeds or young plants. I mean, you could try, but, they need some warmth. They need some sunshine, and you put them in wet soil, and it's cold at night and all that kind of stuff, and they just kind of sit there and go, help, we need warmth. But having said all that, on the other side of the coin, there will not be a drought this summer, okay? There will not be a drought. It's impossible. I think drought season is over for a while, at least.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share a few quotes from some brilliant, and I underline brilliant, weather predictors about our climate.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is it's a little political, but it's
that's all right.
It's right on the money.
Yeah, I bet you just perked Kyle's ears up.
I hope so. I hope you're listening, Kyle. But in 1923, and I want you to take note of the dates here. In 1923, the New York Times reported that Arctic ice was melting amid a radical change in climatic conditions. In other words, old glaciers have disappeared. This is in 1923, and that's from the New York Times. And I thought, that's interesting. Mm. These guys have been at it for a long time. And in March of 2000, a gentleman by the name of David Viner wrote, and I quote, "Children just aren't going to know what snow is," unquote. This brilliant quote came from Mr. Viner, a senior research scientist at the Climatic Research Unit of England's University of East Anglia. And, you know, kids are not going to know what snow is, right?
Oh, no.
All right. And that was, like I say, well, that was kind of, I don't know, a little off base there, but it was in March of 2000. So, you know, these guys are predicting things, you know, 40 years in advance. And then then there is Mr. Al Gore. The world, he says, will reach the point of no return in the next 10 years. And I thought,
when was that?
Well, that was way back. I didn't write the date on that one. I don't think they
could
had
have been,
one.
You know.
It might have been last week. I'm not sure. but here is a quote, another one from December 1939. And they say, all the glaciers in eastern Greenland are rapidly melting. And that was stated by the Harrisburg Sunday Courier.
Oh.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in February 1952,
ooh,
I hope everybody noticing the dates here. In 1952, the glaciers of Norway and Alaska are only half the size they were 50 years ago, said Dr. William Carlson, an Arctic expert.
Oh, an expert.
Yes. And that was, 1952. How many years ago was that? Yeah, that's quite a few.
It's over 60.
Yeah, I was going to say 65 or so. I didn't do the math. But by the New York Times, February 1979, people in their infancy will live to a time when the ice at the North Pole will have all melted.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Ah.
And in May of 1947, which was 75 years ago, Dr. Hans Alleman at the University of California stated that the rise in ocean levels due to Arctic climate change will cause widespread inundation of water in the world.
They've been saying that for 100 years.
Well, it was 75 years ago, you said that. So you're only off 25 years.
But yeah. San Francisco and L.A. seem to survive.
Yeah, they have. I'm impressed with that. And here's the last one for you. I won't bore you with all of this last one. It's by polar researcher Louis Fortier.
Yeah.
Quote, as soon as 2010 or 2015, the Arctic Ocean will be free of ice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think there's still icebergs up there today.
I believe there is,
yes. That was what, let's see, this is 23, so that's 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, somewhere in there.
Boy, they're intelligent, aren't they?
Yeah, and I was thinking, as I was reading these predictions, I noted that none of these have happened, so I was just wondering what anybody else thought about that. But, you know, these were the experts in the field at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And it seems as though we have other experts nowadays in the new era of, mm-hmm, of climate changers that will, you know, say the same thing. Oh, I have just one last shot. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I thought that was the last one. and this is from August 2022.
So this last year.
Fairly recent here.
Yeah.
And it says, the end of snow threatens to upend 76 American lives. And that Bloomberg reported that, referring to predictions of snow disappearance in the western United States. A few months later, of course, the Sierra Nevada mountains had record snowfall and the second snowiest winter on record. That's just right after he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and just locally here, in the last 30 days, I've had snow on my deck at least 9 days. And some days I had it, you know, it's been 2 or 3 inches, and there was a couple of days with 4 to 6 inches.
Yeah.
So global warming is interesting, to say the least.
Oh, isn't it, though?
Yeah,
Where's Al Gore when you need him?
Well, he I don't know. He might have been in Hyannisport or somewhere like that. I'm not quite sure. But, it's this thing about climate change. The climate is always changing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look back in history, even further back than what these people were quoting and the years they were quoting them in, there were years where there was great droughts, there was great snowstorms, there were great wet periods. There were maximum floods in the Mississippi or the Columbia, and you know, all over. And it's not just the United States. It was all over the world, of course, because the weather does change. And yep. we have no handle on the weather. We can't control it. We can't wish it away or anything like that. And it does what it does because that's what the natural cycle of mm-hmm. things is. Now, excuse me, maybe some of the planetary maladjustments up there in the universe are causing some of this. Maybe there's some movement by the moon that gets too close to the Earth, or you know, as you in high school I learned that, you know, the moon had this effect and that effect on our climate and on our Earth's atmosphere and mm-hmm. and how the Earth revolved, et cetera. But I remember as a kid, in certain parts where we got snowed in the winter and we couldn't get out of our ranch for maybe 2 or 3 days because of the snow and the conditions of our road. And we had to be rescued a few times by people with big four-wheel drive rigs to get us to town to get groceries or anything like that. And that was just right outside of Medford, about 30 miles up in Butte Falls. And, you know, that was a normal winter, for crying out loud.
That's Oregon.
Yeah, that's Oregon. And we weren't, you know, real high elevation. I think we were about 2,000 foot, maybe 2,200 foot elevation is all. And that was a normal thing. You know, everybody said, oh, yeah, okay, great. The loggers kept logging. The schools kept opening. I don't remember ever. Maybe it happened, but I don't ever remember a day where school was closed. You just got to school, and you might be late, but that was okay. There was mm-hmm. snow on the ground. For
now, if it's too hot, they don't go.
Yeah, too hot, too cold, too rain, too windy today. But at any rate, I thought that was some interesting information, and that, like I say, was from the Epoch Times, which is a once-a-week national paper that it's got some startling
interesting, to say the least.
Exactly, yeah. And these are not by some...
crackpots.
No, they're not by crackpots. These are by people who are, you know, in their careers of a long standing, et cetera, and they mm-hmm. know something. They're not just whatevers.
I was going to name a politician, but I better be quiet.
No, you don't. This is not a political show. But again, if you have a question... Don't ask me about global warming, but if you have a question about your garden, your landscape, your sprinklers, your lawn, your trees, should you prune them? Is it too late to do this? Is it too late to do that? Or is it too early? Ask, and I'll give you all the information you need so you can do a good job with it, even though I am now retired and no longer own Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist.
But you're still hanging out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm training the new owners.
Ah, how's that going?
Slow.
Is it?
There's a lot to know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of information.
Secondhand to you is brand new for her.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's very energetic and... doing a lot of things that she can do, but as far as plant materials, growing plants and greenhouse operations and those kinds of things, that's all brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be learned. There's a certain way you do it to have success, and if you don't do the steps correctly, you don't have success, and you wasted a lot of time and effort and money.
Yep.
So
that ain't good for business.
No, it ain't good for your pocketbook.
No.
Or your checkbook either.
Speaking of which, we better pay some bills.
Okay.
We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. What's our number there, Mike?
673-4464. If you have a question about your garden, your landscaping, or what you should do now or what you shouldn't do now, or don't waste your time because it's too stinking wet to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things. But, you know, and I'm going to keep on this weather thing for just a little bit.
Okay.
In some parts, of course, of the Sierra Nevada mountains, there are reported snowdrifts like 20 to 30 feet deep.
My.
Yeah. And the drought in California is losing ground.
Yay.
In that the creeks, the rivers, the reservoirs, lakes, and ponds are full or being filled.
Good news.
With snow melt, which translates to farmers and ranchers being able to irrigate their crops and water their livestock so that we can all continue to eat.
Nice.
You know.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen. I'll tell you. But, you know, I had a few clients that I've spoken to, former clients, but they're still clients of the business, but not of mine. And they were asking, oh, gosh, last week, one client has about a half-acre field in back of their office structure. And the grass is probably, it's not a lawn. It's just a grass field where kids play. And it's maybe 6 inches. The grass is 6 inches or 8 inches tall. And I said, well, when are you guys going to mow that? You know, and because we mow all the other real lawns all the way around the property. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, here, take a walk with me. And so I walked out into the field.
Squish.
And there was standing water about an inch deep under all the grass. And I says, you hear that? Squish, squish, squish. He says, yeah. I says, that's why we're not mowing. Because we would put ruts, you know, with our heavy mowing machine, we would put ruts in there, and it would do a very, very poor job of cutting, and it would be ugly when we got done. If we didn't get, stuck in the middle of the field, not, you know, that kind of thing. So I know that there are, I see some folks with lawns have been able to mow because they're on a slope, or they're a little bit higher than the surrounding ground, so consequently the majority of the water runs off.
Yeah.
But don't be so quick to we got to get that mowed. No, you're going to regret doing it once you get into the middle of the project, and then after what you see the net result is going to be, it's going to take you some time when it finally dries out to fix what you destroyed.
Yeah.
So don't rush this thing. Just be patient, and it'll work out. Trust me.
Yeah, you might as well take your pickup back there and do weeding.
Well, yeah, if you got the room. But you know, you think about 20 to 30 feet of snow in the Sierras up above San Bernardino, Lake Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. You know, all that country up there. I was up in that country. Oh gosh, my aunt took me up there on a vacation one time when I was like 7 or 8 years old, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
and you know, it's pine trees and all that kind of stuff. Looks like Bend, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's very, very pretty, but half of L.A.'s got a cabin up there, so it's a little crowded, even though it's up in the mountains. But the snow accumulation has been horrendous. And if California were to get one of those warm rain things sweeping in from, wherever, Hawaii or something like that, they would have some very extreme conditions as far as flooding, because once you get off those mountains, it's all flat, you know, from about San Bernardino all the way to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
It's basically flat. There's a few canals here and there, but it wouldn't
hold it.
No, it would not control or contain any of that water. So, you know, on one hand, it's good to see that snow for. But it, on the other hand, hopefully there's
it won't warm up all of a
sudden. Yeah, there's no warm spell. Let it stay cold for a while and let it melt slowly on its own accord.
Naturally,
whatever. Yes. Yeah. That's the thing you want to do. Because because so many of the I remember the last time I went by Lake Shasta, I mean, it was so low, and this is a few years back, it was so low because it hadn't had any real rains or snowpack in, you know, 3 or 4 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, geez, Louise, it's not even a lake for crying out. It's a little skinny lake. And I've seen it, you know, brim full in the past. And it's a gorgeous lake.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Mount Shasta right there in the background. And you know, it's a very, very busy place in the summer with houseboats and, you know, people camping and fishing, and, you know, it's a very popular place.
But yeah, old Merle used to live down there, I think.
Merle.
Haggard.
Oh, did he?
I think so. I think he had a houseboat down there.
Oh, did you go visit him or what?
Nah.
No? He didn't invite you?
No. He was too busy with his ex-wives.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to stay away then. Yeah. But when those reservoirs are full, you know, that's the good thing because of the growing season in California, and they grow so much of our food that we eat,
right,
and the rest of the nation eats. They export lots of stuff, plus the state of California supplying them with vegetables, et cetera. And it's been like the prime growing location for 100 years as far as, food production goes. I don't know if you've ever gone down into Bakersfield and Fresno, and I've gotten off on some of the old roads and just to see the countryside. And it's all pretty much flat. Mm. You've got the Sierras and to the east that are, you know, quite a few miles away. And you got some coastal hills, but the valley is tremendous. I mean, it's so large, so long, miles and miles long and miles wide, and every square inch of it's got something growing at okra or, you know, corn or cantaloupes or, you know, watermelons. I don't know. It's really it's one of the food baskets of the United States, you know, and you need that irrigation, because they cut off a lot of farmers last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And orchardists, they grow a lot of, you know, lemons and peaches and, you know, that kind of thing in that country. And they have to irrigate those things. I mean, there's no two ways about it, because they have usually a fairly long, hot summer, starting, maybe in April. Not now, but in a normal year. So.
Right.
But at any rate, I don't see any water shortage for Oregon this summer or Douglas County. But, however, I'd still recommend water conservation for our gardens and landscapes. Just because we got a lot of it doesn't mean we have to use it all.
Yeah, don't start watering the sidewalks again.
Yeah, just please. I've seen that, oh, my gosh, so many times. But simple stuff like overwatering gardens or lawns, or watering in the early morning before the heat of the day or after the sun goes down, is good stuff. You don't want to overwater. That's the biggest sin I've seen people commit in their yards, and businesses and stuff like that in the middle, as I said, during this hot part of the summer. You know, you've got sprinklers going on at 10 o'clock in the morning and it's 89 degrees, and most of that water is disintegrating into a cloud somewhere and evaporating, and nothing is really penetrating. And oftentimes people think, well, 15 minutes or 20 minutes is good enough. No, it is not. You know, it's the long-term watering at early morning hours or after the sun goes down and the heat of the day is, you know, crested and it's on the way down. That's when you pump the water to it, and you don't have to do it every day. You can do it twice a week and have a beautiful yard. Everything's green, everything's growing, everything's flowering, and you're good to go. This year, you're not going to have to do much of that. It depends on what, I don't know what the next, do you forecast 30 days out or anything like that?
No, about a week out.
A week out, so.
Showers and rain is about it.
Yeah, and the showers are not bad, but if you get a couple of gully washers in there in between, that's when it really, really, really gets soggy out there.
Oh.
So, yeah. But again, I'm not looking to see a water shortage. I hope that the rain that we've gotten has penetrated down, especially in the forests, especially in the, you know, where you're growing timber and things like that, so that we don't have another weird fire season that burns, you know, thousands of acres and causes people to lose their homes or their ranches or anything like that.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. But you can, like I say, when you do start the watering, water in the early morning before the heat of the day. You know, start it at, you know, if you got a timer, put it on at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m., something like that. And if it's on for, say, an hour or whatever, you've got probably sufficient water for that. And you don't have to do it, like I say, every day. You can do it every other third day and have good growth and healthy plant materials. But don't do it in the middle of the day at noon or 2 o'clock or something like that, because that's the time you can do it. But excuse me.
Need some more coffee there?
No, I'm good on the coffee. It's the cough that I can't stand.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. But with the amount of rain we've had, the ground's going to be damp for several weeks or months even when the warmer weather finally gets here.
Yeah.
Even though the top looks dry, and I've preached this for 20 years, also to test to see how wet your soil is, find a few spots in different parts of the yard to dig down a couple of inches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go down 3 or 4 inches and it's still damp, you're good to go. Don't worry about watering. But if you go down that same depth and it's dry, that's a good indicator. Okay, it's time to water. That's all there is to it. And I don't think you're going to find any dry spots for a while.
I wouldn't think
no.
so. No.
Because
no.
I've seen, quote, April showers really, really hit pretty good. I mean, not the whole month, but all of a sudden, boom, that one of those storms come in, Pacific storms, and bang, there it is. It's just puddles everywhere. So you just, you can save some money.
I bet Lake Mead's enjoying this.
Oh, yeah. 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 And
burying those bodies again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Colorado River and all that. Yeah. But like I say, with the amount of rain we've had, the ground's going to be damp for several weeks, or like I say, maybe a month. And then when warm weather finally gets here, that's what you start doing, testing your soil. Hey, is it working? Is it wet? Is it damp? If it's damp, you don't have to do anything. But if it feels sort of dry 3 or 4 inches down, sock it to it and get it done. And that's all usually any of these plants need to survive and thrive. But and you can, like I say, when you check it and pay attention to your yard, you're going to spend less time weeding, mm-hmm. because not many weeds are going to be growing if you're not watering all the time. your lawns are going to be fresher, lusher, greener, especially if you fertilize in a timely fashion. And all your shrubs have deeper root systems, so consequently they're fine. They're good to go.
They're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're going to be especially in trees with a very large root system. You're okay. But if the summer stays on the cool side, like I say, if we have this prolonged cloudy,
whatever it
cool,
is.
Whatever. Well, yeah, I don't know what you call it.
Bipolar.
Yeah, bipolar.
Weather, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. All right. But you know, if we have this, it's going to be a good year for yards, for streams, for lakes, for fish, for you know, wild
just
animals.
About everything. Yeah.
Because it'll be plenty of forage for deer and elk or whatever to eat. There'll be lush growth everywhere. I mean, it'll be a good year, a makeup year for what it's been for the last 7 or 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
With
be a welcome relief.
Yeah, a welcome relief.
Well, we got to take a break here
okay,
for a minute.
Okay, we'll take a break in a minute.
All righty, and the phone number once again, Mike?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back, and we're still waiting for a phone call or so.
And that's 673-4464 if you have a question. I can't give you a good answer about rain or anything like that, but I can tell you about plants and lawns and things along those lines.
And the effects thereof.
And the effects thereof, yes. Don't be so anxious. Let it go.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, I'll get it next week when it's drier. Okay. You'll be okay. But as I've been speaking about the weather and what we're experiencing here, I can assure you there's going to be plenty of water for people and fish this next summer. I just believe that. And just think of all the money you're going to save on your water bill if you water your yard. But I much prefer a summer on the cool side, like an 80-degree day is all the warmth I need, and your yard and garden will benefit as well. But if you don't have a sprinkler system and you water everything by hand, one of the ways to conserve water in our summers is to add a few inches of mulch. If you already have old mulch down, it's breaking down and adding nutrition to your soil and to your plant materials. But, you know, every 3-4 years, a couple 3 inches of that fresh mulch is good in that it conserves the moisture of the soil and adds, again, more nutrition to your plant materials and less weeds. So there are ways to combat all this. And I've noticed, too, in the last few years, in the landscaping industry, there seems to be less interest in large lawns. And, you know, people want a patch of green, but not a
big one.
Not a big yard for the kids to play baseball in or something like that.
Yeah.
Where that wasn't the case, you know, 20 years ago.
Oh, no. The bigger, the better.
Yeah, let's have all grass and a couple trees. We'll call it good. Yeah.
A 2-acre field.
Yeah, really. But overall philosophy now is to maybe have a small patch of green and the rest of it in shrubs and bark mulch. And it can be very attractive, especially if you have a patio out in your backyard or a nice deck or something like that. As long as you have a patch of green in there, just to kind of break it up, you know, from the mulch and that kind of things. You got some browns and greens, and then you got a lot of blooming whatevers, whether it's perennials or annuals or rhodies or azaleas, you know, anything like that. Is going to be a plus, and it makes a nice yard, and a lot less labor. And a lot less watering, and, you know, just overall maintenance, and
that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's something you need to consider if you've got it like a brand new home, and there's still brand new homes being built. I've seen a few, especially in Winston, but I think. The overall theme and the overall feeling that I see in some of these homes is less grass, less lawn, more shrubs, more bark. And, you know, if people are making those decisions without any advice, that's good decisions to make. But, you know, if you don't know what to do, even though I no longer own Wintergreen, I'm still a landscape consultant and designer. You can call the nursery, or you can call my home phone or something like that. And for a small fee, I can come out and tell you what's what and what to do and how to do it, or draw you a plan, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what to do, ask an expert. And I've got 50 years experience under my belt, so I think I know what Douglas County needs, and I think I know what the soil does, and we've had good results for a lot of years. So now we've already seen some of the early blooming plants around. They were perennials, and I spoke about them a week or two ago, about the different types of perennials that are in bloom that you can buy, that you're going to have some color early in the year. And, of course, nobody can miss all the daffodils that are everywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking about those.
There's got to be a million billion daffodils in Douglas County, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and it's still coming.
Yeah, they're still coming. And it's amazing. You're driving down some road, and all of a sudden, along the ditch line, there's a whole row of daffodils.
Yeah,
nobody would plant them there. How in the world did they get there? Because it was, you know, right next to the pavement or something like that, and gravel. And they're growing, and they're blooming, and they're looking great. And, oh, geez, Louise. But
I even seen some in Myrtle Creek.
Oh, why? Don't they let daffodils in town?
Well, I was kind of surprised. It was right there by that old bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The smaller bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you it's amazing. You can drive just about on any road, any street, and see daffodils in this Douglas County area.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they're just as prolific in, you know, Eugene North, et cetera, even down in the Medford area. But those kind of guys, you know, after you've spent a winter and it's been cold, it's been wet, it's been rainy, you haven't been outside much, and, you know, it's dreary day after day after day for like months. And all of a sudden, bingo, there's these bright yellow flowers blooming. You go, wow, you know, and it kind of changes your mood, kind of gets you excited. Yeah. Wow, spring must not be too far away if it stopped raining. But, and they're a no-brainer plant. You can just plant them in just about any type of soil and leave them alone. You don't have to mess with them. You don't have to water them. You don't have to fertilize them. And bingo, the next year, there they are, blooming. And then they multiply, and they multiply, and they multiply. You've put 10 in and 10 bulbs in an area, and 3 years you got 50 of them. You know, that's how quickly they will multiply. So
that, and somehow they spread into other people.
Oh, yeah, they will. They'll spread into your neighbor's yard, and he hates them. Yeah. So he's poisoning them, and you're trying to grow them, you know.
Yeah, I put more over there.
But then there are some early blooming rhododendrons and azaleas. They're in full bloom, and they look fantastic. And you go, how in the world could they bloom this early on with it snowing? You know, like I say, I had 9 days of snow in a row or something like that at my place. But still, there are some of the dwarf rhododendrons and miniature azaleas and stuff like that. Full bloom. You know,
wow.
And it's snowing on them. And I'm going, what the heck? They are so tough, so hardy. And I don't know how in the world somebody can buy a nice roadie from a nursery, take it home, and kill it in 2 months. I have no idea how that works. It
takes talent.
It does. It has to. But if you do buy some azaleas or roadies or any plant, make sure you get planting instructions. Find out what type of soil it needs, how deep you plant it, how big the hole should be, how not to over-fertilize it or over-water it, you know, those kinds of things. And once that roots in that first year, after that, you pretty much got a maintenance-free plant for the rest of its natural life.
Nice. And
that's how they are. I've rescued plants, I've rescued plants that people have thrown away, and check the bark, and you check under the bark, the stems are still green, and there might be two leaves on this poor-looking thing, and it looks like the cows ran over it or something. And I've taken those home and put them in pure bark mulch and give them a little bit of B1 for a rooting hormone, and the next year, and they'll grow a few leaves, and then the next year they'll have a few flowers, and then a year after, and in 3 or 4 years you would know that it was a castaway. Yeah, I mean, it's a full bloom, looking good. You haven't done much to it. You might have watered it a couple of times in the hot part of August or something like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're a no maintenance kind of shrub, you know. And I stand on that because you can go up the North Umpqua, and you get up there above Tokadee where the lava flows are right down to the highway, and see rhododendrons blooming in the lava flows. In the spring, up there, they bloom about May and June, because the snow is finally gone and it's finally warmed up. But there they are. They're just blooming, going to town. And you go, nobody waters, nobody fertilizes, and that's lava that they're in, and somehow they got there and rooted in and are surviving. So how in the heck can you kill them when you take them to your yard? I don't know, but it's a good choice for early blooms. There are several varieties that start, it seems like as soon as it gets really cold, they go, oh, you have time to bloom, you know, and it's like they're backward or something. But their Empedetum is it's a kind of a dwarf rhododendron. It might get, 2 feet tall at maturity, has small leaves like a boxwood plant, but by golly, there you got the most vibrant lavender purplish blooms you ever saw. And when it's blooming, the entire plant is just covered with those blooms. And like I say, it only gets maybe 2 feet tall at maturity after many, many years.
And it's about the right size.
Yeah, and maybe about 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet wide. And it's like indestructible, for crying out loud. And, well, and you know, it's a good thing because this is when they bloom. Here, then, what weather's been nasty and ugly and wet and all that stuff. And bingo, you got rhododendrons and you got daffodils and you got, you know, all these other hardy stuff just going to town.
Just like, go coming up?
Yeah, they're coming up. Let's go.
And coming up now is a break.
A break. We're going to have a break. Okay.
Once again, our phone number, we'll give it a shot.
673-4464. Give us a call.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, here we are in the final stretch of the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show for this Wednesday.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm talking about plants that bloom in the winter when it's cold and nobody wants to go outside and look at them, you know.
Yeah.
But Empidium is the one I was talking to, the dwarf rhododendron that I was talking about. But another one is called Blue Diamond rhododendron, and it's similar in its growth. It's small, you can actually prune it into a hedge in time, but it doesn't grow that fast, and it's good for small border areas. And these little ones, these miniature ones, are just tougher than nails. They seem to grow in spite of everything. It doesn't matter if it gets 95 degrees for a week and a half, they're still, you know, still good to go and still growing. And the Blue Diamond is similar to the Empidium. It's a lighter blue flower. And the blooms, of course, cover the entire plant. Once it's blooming, you can't see any leaves because it just covers, the entire plant. And it's very low growing, so you can plant it in amongst larger shrubs. And it's good for like small garden areas or border areas along a fence or along your driveway or in a flower box or a flower raised bed at your front entry. I mean, they're an eye-catching little plant. And again, doesn't need a whole lot of care. A little bit of water in the hot part of the summer and a little bit of fertilizer in the spring and the fall, and it's good to go.
That's it. Nice.
Yeah. And it seems like the smaller dwarfer plants are just almost twice as tough as the big fancy showy ones.
Yeah. I mean,
rhododendrons are tough anyway, period. They're a good.
Well, they have to be if they grow on the coast.
Oh, yeah. They grow on the coast. They grow in at Mount Fieldson, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, if you want to shape it and you want to prune it, make sure when the blooms are all done, that's the best time to prune because you're not going to mess with next year's blooms. And these guys both, they do best in the sun. And if they get a little shade, the blooms are more vibrant and longer lasting. Well, we have a call?
We do have a phone call.
Well, hello.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Well, hello to you too. I really enjoy your program, Mike. Listen quite often. And you mentioned azaleas, and I have some azaleas that are not blooming. Well, I have some that are blooming. I think they're little jeans or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they're beautiful, but the rain's just really beating them. But then I have some others that are on the north side of the house, close to the house, and they have an awful lot of moss on the stalk, on the stems and the trunk and so forth. Should I try to get that off of them?
Yeah. It would be better for the plant because that moss or whatever that is, it's a fungus of sorts, and it's drawing energy from the plant. And in time, it would do the plant harm. But I mean, in time, 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. But you can just take your hand and rub it off.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a glove on.
Yeah, with a glove on. Okay. Or, you know, and just rub it off, and it comes right off. It's easy to do. You're not going to hurt the plant at all. In fact, it's going to thank you and do a better job. And don't let it, you know, the following year, if you start to see some of it come back again, because it always seems to do that, you know, just do a quick rub and clean up the stems, and it's good to go.
Okay. Okay. Moss is awfully pretty, though, on the ground.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't hurt the
ground. On the ground, yeah, around oak trees.
Yeah, well, that's what we live in, an oak grove sort of.
Yeah, and they'll transfer themselves to whatever they want to, those mosses.
And one more question. I've got some stakes, fertilizer stakes, mm-hmm. and it seems like the highest number to be putting on your roadies and stuff is the nitrogen instead of the other two.
Instead of the potassium and the phosphorus.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
I don't,
would you put...
Well, it won't hurt it, but it won't enhance the blooming process. It'll make it grow really well.
Well, I suppose it doesn't hurt to give them a little bit. One of them instead of a half a dozen or something.
Yeah. You want to balance it out with a good rhododendron fertilizer. That on the packages will say rhododendrons and azaleas.
Okay.
That's the proper
proper
one.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call.
Congratulations on selling your business.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what to do with myself. I walk around in circles for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Well, that's pretty good timing.
Yeah,
it was right up to almost time to say goodbye.
Almost time? How many times?
About 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Well, I'm going to say goodbye early and save the rest of my notes for next week.
All right.
Because I'm sure that the weather will be similar to what it is right now.
Yeah, according to the forecast.
Yeah, I read the forecast. I'm like, what? You're still doing this stuff? What's wrong with this? Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I helped somebody in something.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for the afternoon report next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.